Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected talk, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day.
Here comes you. We pioneered the internet, but we also pioneered the Bill of Rights and a sense that each of us as individuals, you know, have a sphere of privacy around us.
Any other nation would have impeached this president a long time ago. Any other nation, after the embarrassment of letting the entire world down, would have finally understood who this phony is. He did not attend the Paris rally for no reason other than to watch the football game. Okay, then why didn't he send Biden? And where was Kerry, who speaks French and has deep roots in France? I don't buy it. There's a message that was sent here by this administration to the Islamists, to the Muslim Brotherhood, saying something. What was he saying to them? But wait a minute. The blame goes farther than the Democrats, socialists, communists, whatever you want to call them. Why didn't Boehner attend the rally in Paris? Am I the only one in the media who asked the question? We can criticize the president, as he should be. As head of the Harvard Law Review, he published nothing. Never tried a case in court as a lawyer. He never went to any seminars. He skips intelligence briefings. He will not engage with Congress. He ignores his cabinet. It's run by a sorority. And so he doesn't go to Paris, represented only by a lobbyist who became an ambassador to Paris. I ask you, the listeners of this show, why did Obama not attend the rally in France? Why didn't he send the vice president? Why didn't Kerry go there? He was in India, a few hours away. Now I'll ask another question. Why didn't Boehner go? There's enough blame to go around. We have a crippled, passive, cowardly government. Crippled, passive, cowardly government at every level. And now we wake up to this. All of the Pentagon's social media accounts have been hacked by ISIS. ISIS has posted the names and addresses of the U.S. generals, their families, and their children. And they have said, American soldiers, we are coming, watch your back. Why do you suppose ISIS, a ragtag army that Obama said was the JV team, I think, can penetrate our Pentagon's cybersecurity? There is no cybersecurity. The Pentagon's been watching the Tea Party. The Pentagon, along with Dianne Feinstein and the NSA, has been not monitoring ISIS, not monitoring Al-Qaeda. They've been monitoring you, the American patriot. This is a very dangerous time, but you wouldn't know it going around the average American community today. The morons, you look at the morons, they don't know what world they live in. They don't even know there was a rally in Paris of 4 million people yesterday. It was a rally larger than that on the Victory Day after World War II, those famous photos of the French in the streets after the Nazis had been kicked out by the Americans and the British. Remember those pictures of the celebrations in Paris? This was a larger rally. It's an historic day. And our doofus president didn't go. And where was Biden? And where was Kerry? And where was Boehner? I don't buy that the security was the issue at all. You mean Netanyahu didn't need security? You mean Merkel didn't need security? You mean Hollande didn't need security? You mean Abbas didn't need security? It's utter rubbish to believe that. It's rubbish to believe that. He told the world to drop dead. He said to the world, screw you, I could care less about you. In other words, you know, you could say maybe it's about narcissism. That might hold some validity. I mean, he had to hold hands with other leaders and be just one amongst many instead of the king of all on the heap, king of the heap. He couldn't just link arms with Hollande and Cameron and Merkel and Netanyahu and Abbas. Then he would just be another leader, not the supreme leader of the universe. So he didn't attend for a couple of reasons. Probably to watch the basketball game was one. 2, narcissism. 3, he's sending a signal to the Islamists. And I don't like that part of it. I don't even want to go there with my thinking. He let the world down, says the liberal Daily News. Even a Daily News headline. You let the world down. You let the world down. So why did Obama not attend the rally in France? We have unprotected talk today on the Savage Nation. Of course, this is the topic that's animating me. And the phone number here is 855-400-728. There's no open lines, but you can keep trying all day. You know it's going to be whack jammed out for 3 straight hours now. I haven't even begun the stories I pulled all weekend on the terror attacks. Not one minute did I pull a story yet. It goes on and on. This is a breach of not attending this rally that no American should ever forget. But the 47% who do nothing, or is it 50% now, who sit on their behinds and collect government checks, could care less whether this doofus went to Paris or not. You think they care? If you were to confront even a college-educated woman who is an Obama worshiper, let's take the average white woman in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Let's take the average self-satisfied girl in the city, Sex in the City type, that all she cares about is whatever she cares about. And you were to say to her, wait a minute, you're a liberal. How do you feel about your president, who you support at all turns, not going to Paris when 4 million people were there and every world leader? You know what they'd say? Drop dead. He has his raisins. That's what they say to you. That's the world you're living in. But I raised another issue, which is why didn't Boehner, the phony, go there? I mean, if Obama wasn't going, then Boehner could have gone. Why didn't he go, that moron? Why didn't that useless drunk go to Paris and march there with the others? We had no representation except a lobbyist. A lobbyist. That's who he sent there. There's another reason for this. And finally, his spokesmouth, a man whose name will go down in history as one of the most, what should I say, the most? There's so many of them, there's no most anymore. Here's a guy who's the spokesmouth for Barack Hussein Obama in clip 25.
Some have asked whether or not the United States should have sent someone with a higher profile than the ambassador to France. And I think it's fair to say that we should have sent someone with a higher profile to be there.
Oh, that's very nice, Josh. When did you get that from? Which sorority gal gave you that one? Listen to 26 now.
The fact is that this is obviously a march that the planning for which only began on Friday night, and 36 hours later it had begun. What's also clear is that the security requirements around a presidential-level visit or even a vice presidential-level visit are onerous and significant.
You believe that? You mean Hollande doesn't have security requirements? You say, well, okay, Hollande's French, so it's easier for him. All right. You mean Cameron didn't have security requirements? You mean Merkel had none? Oh, you mean Netanyahu didn't have security requirements? That is total BS. That is total crap. I don't believe a word of it. Let's go to the callers. I'm asking you the questions. It's open, unprotected talk. Line 1, go ahead, please. Name, city, topic.
Lance, 560 KSFO, San Francisco, 560 amplitude modulation. Michael, I would much rather hear you tell me a story about your mother or your coming Hellcat, but I want to ask everyone of the Savage Nation a rhetorical question. What do the denizens of Honolulu, the graduates of Punahou High School, have to say about this performance? It's just stunning.
Do you think liberals are as shocked as we American patriots are by Obama's giving the middle finger to the world?
No.
Not at all. No. The cowards would back him to the hilt. See, at first when I see he didn't go, I said he must be at a fundraiser somewhere in Hollywood that Weinstein put on. But that wasn't reported, so I doubt it. Then I said it must be the football game. That's the only thing that could keep him away. And that, well, because you say, all right, he didn't, but why not Kerry? Let's say the liar, the Josh Earnest, says, okay, planning, security, blah, 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 can't, vice president. Then what about Kerry, who was in India, which is a 3-hour flight away, isn't it? 4 hours?
I'd like to say something about Netanyahu's security.
No, wait. Why didn't John Kerry go from India? Why?
I don't know. Couldn't get a ticket.
I guess he was brushing up his Purple Heart from Vietnam. He was burnishing it. Netanyahu came all the way from Israel. He had security.
Say this by Netanyahu's security. I'm certain it was in place days before he arrived. They're always there.
Well, I'm sure that Obama's security was in place there, too. You think we don't have security on the ground in Paris? After all, we have an embassy in Paris. So, listen, we have an embassy in Paris, don't we? We have a Marine Guard at the Paris embassy. They certainly could have sent that Marine Guard and put in a second team at the embassy, couldn't they?
Certainly. There's a line in the French national anthem. It's the last line, I believe. And it says, Quand son impure abreuve nos sions. I translate it as, until impure blood slakes the fields, that is to say, irrigates them. Maybe I'm translating.
Well, no, I don't want to go down with the blood stuff. I'm not into blood and guts. I'm into discussions of national and local policy and any other topic that is of any interest to the listeners. Okay, you're a good caller. I recognize your voice. ISIS hacks Pentagon social media accounts, threatens American soldiers, their wives and children. Tell me how that happened.
I don't know what to say anymore, Michael.
I know what to say anymore. I know what to say. Your government has been busy worrying about the Tea Party, attacking Republicans, attacking Tea Party members. And as a result, they purged the military of all combat generals. All combat generals were fired by the same man who would not go to an anti-terror rally in Paris. You can't put two and two together. Does he have to wake up one day and start chanting to Allah and wear a headdress? And then you'll say, well, he's just trying to be nice to the Muslim world. I'll be right back. Think about it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
As soon as I heard about the plans for the march that took place yesterday, I asked my team to figure out what the earliest is that I could travel to Paris in order to show once again, to reaffirm the connection between the United States and our oldest ally. And so I will be traveling there on Thursday.
Duh, it's Monday. The rally was over the weekend, John. By Thursday, they will have all gone home. What are you going there Thursday for? Is that the first day your wife could get away? Unbelievable to me. Now, look, there is a way to fight this war, and we're not fighting it at all. If we had a real war leader, here's what would be done. Write it down. They know where their training camps are, both in Yemen and in Syria and in Iraq. They know just where their training camps are. They know exactly, you ask anybody in the military if I'm making this up, they know just where their training camps are. But because of the cowardice of the commander-in-chief and the reluctance of the commander-in-chief to engage the enemy, they're training every day to kill us. And so the answer is quite simple. We need a new commander-in-chief, don't we? We need a new commander-in-chief who understands that the enemy has declared war and is at war with us. It is World War III. It has been for quite a while, but now they're openly parading around in their terror camps, their training camps, which they can read from the satellites, and they could launch weapons on them in Yemen, and they could launch weapons on them in Syria and Iraq, and they can annihilate them, their wives and children. That's the exact reason they won't do it. They're afraid of bad publicity. Now, if we had had this kind of leadership, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. If the administration that conducted the war against Hitler, FDR, was afraid the same way Obama is, there would have been no firebombing of Dresden. There would have been no bombing of Berlin. There wouldn't have even been a D-Day for fear that they would have killed one German civilian after they arrived in Germany. And so we would have lost World War II. Do you understand that we have everything upside down and backwards? This is common sense. We're sitting here like a bunch of beaten women. And we're saying to the bad husband, don't hit us again. And if you hit us one more time, don't you worry. We'll get even with you. We're never going to get even with them. The only way to deal with this enemy is to go on the attack. We have the weapons. We have the knowledge. We know where their training camps are. The problem is we don't have the leadership. If it's not apparent to you after this AWOL appearance, non-appearance by Obama, away without leave, he was AWOL. He was AWOL. And if it's not apparent to you now, you will never know the danger you were in. You can't know what danger you're in. He stayed home. Why? It was not about security. Let me repeat it over and over again. It was the largest rally in the history of Paris. It was larger than the D-Day rally, after the Germans had been defeated in World War II. And here he was not there. Where was Biden? Not there. Where was Kerry? He was in India. A liar. But I'll raise the stakes on all of you who think it's a Democrat-Republican problem. Where was Boehner? Boehner could have gone. He could have represented the United States, couldn't he? Why didn't he go? Boehner is the number one opposition party leader. Why did he not go? Tell me why he didn't go. Because he's another fraud. Then we have the sad reality here of Rubio, the man who really should get out of the picture of the presidency already. Listen to the weak statement in clip three.
I thought it was a mistake not to send someone. Look, I understand when the president travels, he brings with him a security and communications package, which is intense. And I understand you drop that into the middle of something like this, it could be disruptive. But Eric Holder was in Paris, and maybe John Kerry should have gone, or somebody else, or a plethora of people they could have sent. I think in hindsight, I would hope that they would do it differently.
End of story. Rubio was never presidential material, never. He's a boy in a man's game, and it's a shame to listen to this man as the voice of the Republican Party speaking so mildly about such a breach of security for the American people and such a message to the enemy and such a message to our allies and such a horrendous AWOL appearance, away without leave, by the president, vice president, secretary of state. Astounding. And this is the best the ice cream man can do. In case you just joined the show, we're not talking about a football game on the Savage Nation. We're not talking about the degenerates of the Golden Globes. I could care less whose dress may have fallen off or who was whose beard. I could care less which actor had which woman as a beard there. I don't care. I don't care which actor had a fake wife there. It doesn't matter to me. All that matters to me is national security. And we have none. We have no national security. It's each man for himself. It's that simple. And we're talking about the greatest breach of protocol in modern American history. It is historic. It will never be forgotten. It will never be forgotten, but for one reason it will be forgotten, and that's because of Wolf Blitzer on CNN, who will let it go immediately. And because of the people at MSNBC, it's already been swept under the rug. They're already covering, I don't know, I don't watch it, who knows, some rotten egg story. So we have jihad everywhere. Now we wake up and find out that ISIS has penetrated the Defense Department's social network, and they're threatening the wives and children of generals. Did you hear that one? Didn't make it to the San Francisco newspaper?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The most controversial, vicious attorney general in American history would not answer the question, and he corrupts the language itself by saying that we're not at war with radical Islam. Again, the big lie. And so we are in trouble. Because the people running the country are not capable of running the country. They never were. Listen to clip 14 in case you don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, we are constantly evaluating where we stand with regard to those people who we have suspicions about. We have a universe of people who we focus on using all legitimate means and keep track of them, keep track of their movements. Again, using appropriate mechanisms, monitor them as best.
You got the picture. You got the picture. You got the picture here. These people are putting all of us at risk. Moreover, they've sent a signal to the radical Muslim world that they're not at war with them, and they've sent another signal to our most important allies that we are not their ally. But we're all unprotected talk today. If you want to talk about something else, the phone number is 855-407-282, but I warn you, you can't get through. With the new unprotected talk format on the Savage Nation, there's absolutely, there's not now. I'll tell you when a line opens up, okay? Let's go to WMAL on line one. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, Mike. My name's Steve. I'm calling. I know why the president didn't want to march in the rally this weekend. If you follow the Quran, the only way to leave Islam is death. And you've never heard the Muslim community go after the president. And we all know, anyone with any amount of internet can find out the president grew up Muslim. All his parents were. He went to Muslim schools.
Hold. Not all of his parents were. Both of his fathers were Muslim. Not his mother.
His stepfather was also. Yes, his mother.
His natural father was a Muslim. His stepfather was a Muslim, which means by patrilineal descent, he is Muslim. Which again unto itself, let's not be confused again. It was Muslim children who were blown up by radical Muslims in Pakistan. So the word Muslim doesn't have the connotation of all our terrorists. I must say that because that is the truth.
Michael, if you look any, you can, this all can be justified in the name of Allah in the Quran, and if moderate Muslims, extremist Muslims are just the Marine Corps for the moderates. They sharpen the knives for the extremists.
Well, I've heard that. I've heard that before, but I truly don't believe it, and I'll tell you why. Do you know any Muslims at all?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, no. Have you ever talked to any of them? Talked to people who are, let's say, born into that faith?
Of course, I talk to them every day. Wait, where are the Muslims?
Wait. So they're all terrorists secretly waiting to blow you up?
No, they're not. They are moderate themselves, but just like Christians, they're not. Either Christian or status is not a Marine. You have certain people that are capable of doing these things, and that's why. The Muslim community does not have a peace march for peace. They follow the Quran. And the Quran does not teach peace. The beginning books of the Quran are not looked at because the last books of the Quran supersede them.
Well, there absolutely there's truth in what you say for sure, and I've said it over and over again. However, there is some hope. And the hope is that there are Muslims speaking out against the murderous phrases inside passages inside within the Quran. And the most notable spokesman on this issue is the ruler of Egypt. Did you see this one? This is a very, very important story. Mr. al-Sisi, who is the ruler of Egypt, have said that the Islamic ideology is driving terrorists to kill, and that imams have a duty to stop the violence justified by sermons and writings. Now, there's a very important sub-story to this. General Sisi is a former chief of the armed forces who ousted the elected Islamist president in 2013. Now, do you remember what happened when the Muslim Brotherhood was thrown out by this man and his military? Do you remember John McCain went to Egypt and told the Egyptian people they had to reinstate the Muslim Brotherhood? Do you remember that he had the nerve to tell them that the legitimate government of Egypt should be the Muslim Brotherhood? That was John McCain, Republican, a hairbreadth away from becoming president. So what hope do we have when we have such sellouts on both sides of the aisle? So here the ruler of Egypt is alone among major world leaders in going before a large worldwide audience, specifically in this case senior Muslim clerics, and telling that parts of Islamic ideology are driving terrorists to kill worldwide. He said that just days before Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist murdered in Paris. And that man is Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. This man is a hero for the world. He stood before Muslim clerics and scholars, and el-Sisi asserted that years of Islamic writings and sermons had created an ideology that justifies waves of violence. And he warned the imams that they have a duty to stop it. Here's what he said. He said, "You must emerge from it and look from outside in order to get closer to a truly enlightened ideology," he said in a speech that was televised to the Egyptian people. "You must oppose it with resolve. Let me say it again. We need to revolutionize our religion." Could you imagine if Obama got up and said something like that? How you'd finally feel that there's a leader in the country who really, you know which side he's on? I think the ruler of Egypt is closer to being an ally of America than the administration is. Line three. Next up, what's on your mind? Station name, topic.
Yes, Michael. The station is WABC. The topic is that we are not to lose hope by what happened in Paris and the outskirts. I am a Jewish American, theocentric religionist. My goal is to propagate the divine consciousness to everybody I can reach.
All right, fine. All right, so you're proselytizing on my show, but what's your main political point?
My point is that anyone who noticed the town name of the printing shop where they were holed out would find a hint at something which is unbelievably uplifting, and all the chaos and all the tragedy that was happening at that time. The first name of the town was Dammartin, but the second name of the town was Goel. Now, someone who speaks Hebrew will know immediately that Goel means the Redeemer. So all that was happening is just to tell us that we're at the last throes of this chaos, and it's going to come to a time of the redemption. That's what Goel means. And in fact, in 1992,
hold on. We got okay. Fine. So we have redemption. How do you explain that President Obama didn't attend the rally? Is there any sign? Was there a sign somewhere in a toilet bowl that you saw?
The reason that he didn't attend the rally.
Was there a dripping icicle somewhere in Paris that gave you a symbol that there was a reason the president didn't attend that had to do with redemption?
Absolutely. And the reason.
Let me hear about the icicle, the message in the icicle.
Because we have a message in Proverbs which says that the hearts of kings are in the hands of God, that Obama doesn't do anything on his own, that he is like any of the other kings in the world.
You mean so God wants America flooded with illegal aliens from Central America who don't work?
No.
To bankrupt our states? God wants our states bankrupted?
No, God wants the people of the United States, and especially the Jewish people, to cry out and say, Ad Marsai, when is this coming to an end? How long do we have to endure this?
Oh, well, you may wait until eternity to have the liberal Jewish community say one word against Obama.
Why do you think I'm publicizing that the Rebbe said
The day that the professional left-wing Jewish organizations say one word against the president is the day of redemption.
The day of redemption will come and we can't take it anymore. And we all cry out, we will.
But the liberal Jewish community is in lockstep with him. I almost said lockstep. I'm sorry.
But there's a segment of the Jewish
community. I almost said that they're in lockstep. Did you hear the joke or you don't have any sense of humor?
What's the joke? I missed it.
I said the liberal Jewish community is in lockstep with Obama.
I'm not surprised, of course. Because
but I said lockstep, L-O-X. Did you get the joke?
I got the joke.
But you don't laugh, though. What's wrong with you? You don't laugh.
Because I'm trying to say what I need to say, and you're interrupting.
I understand, but I can say what I need to say and laugh. Don't you have a sense of humor?
Well, I never know if I'm going to encounter the cantankerous Michael Savage, the curmudgeon.
Are you married with children?
What? Of course.
Are you married? How many children do you have?
I know I have five. How many do you have?
So you have five children. Don't they make you laugh every once in a while?
Well, most of them are grown and out of the home already. Yeah, they do, especially my grandchildren do.
All right, so you have a sense of humor.
I have a sense of humor, but I...
All right, so, okay, I said lockstep and it wasn't funny. I get it. So what's the next thing on your revelation list?
The point is that the Rebbe, Lubavitcher Rebbe, told us in 1992 that we have the Messiah now. All we have to do is to...
Please. He promised the Messiah in the year 1999. They kept waiting for it. He never came.
No, Messiah was there from the time of...
Oh, come on. I listened to it all during the 90s that the Mashiach is coming. He never came. It was like the Y2. He never came.
I'll give you an instance of it.
He was wrong.
Stick.
Don't turn Rabbi Schneerson into a god. He was a smart scientist who was also a good leader, but he was not on the level of. See, what you're doing now is what radical Muslims do: is you're elevating your religious figures to a godhead. That's a mistake.
Moses was not a godhead. He's just the Moses of a generation.
He promised that the Messiah would come, wasn't it in the year 1999?
Nope. It was in 1991 that he said, because of the Gulf War, it was a fulfillment of what happened. What it says in the
All right, we're going to go in circles now. It's like arguing on the head of a pin. Look, he was just a man and a good man and a good leader, but he was not God, and he was certainly not the greatest prophet that the Jewish people have ever seen. So let me hear what else is in your prophetic vision, and I mean it sincerely.
And of what he did as a Messiah.
All right, let's forget him already. He's dead and buried. God bless him. Now, so what else is on your mind?
A bloodless revolution in Russia, unheard of it in the annals of time. They overthrew communism.
All right, so what's going to happen in my country is what I want to know with a leader like this, a spineless leader like Obama. Tell me how that works out.
It's a fulfillment of the prophecy that there will be no leaders. There'll be a thirst for leadership, that everybody will say, who can we follow? Where should we go? What should we do? And so we see that being fulfilled right in our own eyes.
All right, that I agree with. We have no leadership. It's a vacuum. Okay. And then what happens?
Then this will create a vacuum, like you said, to such a degree that everybody will know the only one who can get us out of this mess is God through his righteous Redeemer, who he is sending in the guise of the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
All right, stop already. Please. I couldn't you just cut it off that he was sending someone and cut it off? You mean it has to be a Jewish leader now to save the world?
Moses was the Jewish...
Well, the Christians believe that there has to be a Christian leader. The Muslims would say it has to be a Muslim leader. So, don't you understand this is part of the division? that every religion has their own view, that only their religion and only their way is right, everyone else is an idiot?
That's why we have the event at Mount Sinai, because Mount Sinai was in front of...
Listen, my friend, I'm getting a migraine, and only on the left side, though, so I'm going to have to say sayonara, or as we say in Hebrew, whatever. Go, whatever. I got a pain now ranging from my left ear to the top of my shoulder on the trapezius muscle. From the eye across the trapezius muscle. I'm going to take a break and see if I can massage it away. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN.
The relationship with France is not about one day or one particular moment. It's an ongoing, long-time relationship that is deeply...
All right, now we know why he threw his medals over the fence. Are we back on the air? It's 54 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Unprotected Talk in the Savage Nation. The big topic today is, why did Obama not attend the rally in France? And I'm the only one in the media who asked, why didn't Boehner go? In other words, if Obama didn't go, which was bad enough, and he refused to send Joseph Biden... He didn't send the Secretary of State when every other world leader was there. Well, why didn't Boehner go? Now we have the strange case of Dianne Feinstein, who over the weekend, she's the chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, who tells us there are sleeper cells in our country in clip 8. Let's hear this.
I think there are sleeper cells not only in France, but certainly in other countries, and yes, even in our own. So I think this calls for vigilance. It calls for seeing that the national security organizations of our country, the intelligence community, is funded fully, is directed ably, is cooperating with whether it be British intelligence, French intelligence, German intelligence, as we do.
Okay, right. Here's the woman who persecuted General Petraeus. You know, General Petraeus is facing possible jail time, and it's in the hands of Eric Holder. If you can believe the country you're living in, this guy is a first-class warrior, combat experience, master's degree, a true gentleman and a scholar, who may or may not have done what they said he did, and they're threatening with jail time, and they put it in the hands of none other than Eric Holder. And then to make matters even more bizarre, over the weekend, Dianne Feinstein, who says this, she says, "Oh, I think he's suffered enough, General Petraeus. I think he should be let. He's lost his career and he's lost his reputation. He's suffered enough." And I said to myself, "Oh boy, the Manchurian, the Queen of Diamonds, sure has the game worked out, doesn't it?" Because in my estimation, she is the one who brought these charges against Petraeus to get even with him for having snooped on her emails. That's my guess. Remember, Petraeus was the head of the CIA for a while, and it was during his tenure at the CIA that Dianne Feinstein's emails were looked at, and she never forgave him for that. And as a result, she fought back, and she showed him who the boss really is. So it's nice to know that a woman, a former mayor of San Francisco, living in San Francisco with San Francisco values, if you want to call them that, is now running the American Intelligence Service. This is a woman who outed the CIA, crippling their ability to do the work necessary to do to probably even to have prevented the Paris terror attacks. That's my guess. And now to make matters worse, she persecutes Petraeus, and Sunday says, "Oh, he's suffered enough." That's one man's opinion. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but then I am a novelist who thinks in the terms of fiction. My problem is I have too fertile an imagination. And so far as I know, imagination is not illegal in America. Is it? I wonder if she would defend my right to my imagination as she did the cartoonists in Paris.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how I hate Blue Monday. Got to work.
ending as they finally see that not only does the king have no clothes, there is no king at all. Welcome to the Savage Nation. He's an empty suit who is doing the bidding of God only knows whom. The president of the United States, the empty suit, did not attend the largest rally in the history of France, a rally in size that exceeded that of the liberation of Paris in World War II when a far smaller crowd attended. 4 million people, all world leaders, with rare exception. There was Netanyahu of Israel, who, by the way, the verminous socialist president of France tried to prevent from attending. Did you know that the little rat from France didn't want Netanyahu to attend, but Netanyahu insisted on going? You didn't know that. Did you know that the little socialist rat who runs France, who has done so much damage to that nation, which is why the Muslim fanatics are able to run freely, it's because he has inhibited his intelligence services from doing their job preemptively, the way our president and attorney general have here in this country. He has also, you may not know this about the president of France, prohibited the Le Pen party from attending the rally, even though they garnered at least 25% of the popular vote. So it shows you that liberalism is not only a mental disorder, but a dangerous mental disorder, which is an old story. But the world is finally buzzing about the empty suit in the White House, who did not go to Paris, didn't send the VP, and did not even send John Kerry, another empty suit. But I raised the stakes and asked, well, okay, let's be fair. Since I am not a Republican, I am an independent, and I have been ever since I began on radio in 1994. Why didn't Boehner go to the rally? He's the leader of the opposition party. He could have walked in the second row. So he would have walked. He could have taken a flask with him. He wouldn't have been that far away from the ice and the booze. There are hip flasks today, John. You put one in your coat pocket. It's cold in France, I admit. And you swig every once in a while. They wouldn't have known what you were doing. You wouldn't have been too far from your juice. He could have gone there and taken a swig every few steps to get through it. So the world is just finally coming to recognize who this man actually is. And what good is it going to do? What good is it going to do? We have this Quisling government in place. Now, you know, I'm not one to predict what happens, because in predictions you're either right or wrong, and then you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. But I would say that there's a very high likelihood there's going to be a major terrorist attack in America. Not so much because the terrorists are going to be able to get through and do it, but because the government will want them to get through and do it. Feinstein warns us there's a possibility of an attack. Holder warns us, possibility of an attack. CIA director, a possibility of an attack. They're telling us that it's coming. Why are they telling us it's coming? So they can further increase the screws on the American people and control us with another terror attack. That's the horrible reality. Listen to clip 14 and tell me what you think of this one.
Well, we are constantly evaluating where we stand with regard to those people who we have suspicions about. We have a universe of people who we focus on using all legitimate means and keep track of them, keep track of their movements. Again, using appropriate mechanisms, monitor them as best we can. And we do this in conjunction with our state and local counterparts. And I think the American people should feel secure in what it is that we do.
Do you feel secure in what Eric Holder does? Do you feel secure in what Obama does? Do you feel more secure or less secure that Obama didn't go to the Paris rally? Don't call me on that. That's so stupid. The man breached all protocol. The man sent the message both to our enemies and our allies. Strong messages, by the way. It is so twisted and crazy that it's hard to imagine a president that impeachment would not be called for the next day. Let me turn it around for all of you so-called progressives who are mainly people on legitimate and illegal drugs. Your minds are so bent from drugs that you can't even follow reality. But let me make it simple. I'll be your Dutch uncle. I'm sitting at a dinner table with you. You look like Woody Allen to me. Let's say you look like Woody Allen, and you're such a die-hard progressive citizen of the world that you don't even know what's going on around you. Your mind is made up. Your doxy is clear. It's your religion. Liberalism is your religion. So even when the religion itself is wrong, you can't admit you're wrong. You're like the Islamists. You follow your book. You follow your protocols. Your protocols of liberalism are set in stone. And even when they're shown to be disastrous, you stick with your protocols. So let me ask you a question. See if this gets through to you. What's the question I should ask you? I have no question I can even ask you because I know you won't answer it. So maybe I've just opened your own mind up to ask the question because you set up a defense mechanism when I said, let me ask you a question. Right away, you flexed, you flinched. And you're ready for Michael Savage to hit you with a question that he was going to ask you about your own liberalism. But because I didn't ask it, maybe you asked it of yourself. Who knows? Minds can be plastic. You never know. My suspicion is they're getting ready. The leaders of the so-called free world, Obama, Holder, Feinstein, and others, are basically signaling us that they're going to attack us. Oh, I don't mean them. I mean our enemies, whoever the enemy. We don't really have enemies. It's just some madmen who have hijacked the great religion of the world, the religion of peace. But they're going to attack us. And Holder refuses to name them. Even Stephanopoulos, who is, as you well know, a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, asked him. Well, listen to clip 18. You'll hear what he asked him.
The French prime minister said yesterday that France is at war with radical Islam. Is the U.S. at war with radical Islam?
Well, I certainly think that we are at war with those who would commit terrorist attacks and who would corrupt the Islamic faith in the way that they do to try to justify their terrorist actions. So that's who we are at war with.
The word political correctness has no meaning. This is well beyond that. This is Quislingdom. Look up Quisling, Q-U-I-S-L-I-N-G. If not Quisling, then look at the Prime Minister of England who capitulated to Hitler before he was thrown out on his umbrella. Finally, the British woke up to the danger they were in because of a certain gentleman with an umbrella now called Neville Chamberlain. Obama is not Neville Chamberlain. He's far worse than Neville Chamberlain because Neville Chamberlain was a dyed-in-the-wool socialist liberal, but he wasn't necessarily consorting with the enemy in belief or in sympathy. I cannot say the same, in my opinion, for others in high places in this government. I don't sleep well at night fearing that they've already been compromised, frankly. And I don't know what it's going to take other than a major 9/11 for the people in this country to finally wake up from their stupor, from their football, from their baseball, from their basketball. When are they going to wake up? God only knows. ISIS hacked the Pentagon's social media accounts. They posted the names and addresses of U.S. generals, and they said that their wives and children are known to them and where they are. And they said, American soldiers, we are coming. Watch your back. And Obama blinks and says, it's nothing. No big deal. Not a big deal. Larry David's coming over. We got Harvey Weinstein doing a fundraiser in L.A. No big deal. No biggie. No biggie. They all got my back in Hollywood. Even the Daily News, which is not known to be a conservative outlet, I would say the Daily News is by and large a mainstream liberal newspaper. It's actually quite interesting and great in its own way. I love it. And even their headline today says, is you let the world down, and they show the hall of shame. Obama, Kerry, Holder, Biden, you let the world down. More than 4 million people marched in Paris. None of these people showed up. The news says you let the world down. Obama, Biden, Kerry, and Holder, not fit for government. If we had a legitimate government, there would be a vote of no confidence and they'd be thrown out. They'd be thrown out within a few days. But we don't have a representative government. How many times have I told you that? We are stuck with a crippled system established too long ago to protect us from charlatans like this. Why did Obama not attend the rally in France? Why didn't Boehner go to the rally? Where is he? Where is Klink? Now, these are not the only topics that we can talk about. There are many others, but I don't know of a bigger one than this. Here's Dianne Feinstein saying, terrorist sleeper cells are in the U.S. Now, here's a woman who is the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee telling us that they're here. But why doesn't she tell? What is she telling me for? Why doesn't she tell the special forces or whoever it is, the FBI, whatever, go after them? Instead of focusing on the Tea Party, why doesn't she focus on them? A key senator said Sunday she believes there are terrorist sleeper cells in the U.S. that could carry out attacks similar to the ones in France. She said, I think there are sleeper cells not only in France, but certainly in other countries, and yes, in our own. So why doesn't she do something about it? What does she think? She has the job only to find out what insider information can benefit a certain individuals? She has the job to protect us. That's why she was put on as chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. How could this woman be chairwoman of the Senate Intelligence Committee? How is that possible? How in a time like this could a 78-year-old woman who has never shown any real loyalty to America, never, How could she be chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee? How? A new poll from Rasmussen shows that 65% of Americans believe terrorist attacks similar to those in France are likely to happen over the next 12 months. And yet Attorney General Holder says, no, 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 no. We're investigating that. He said, we have no information. It could happen, but we don't know anything about it. She says there are sleeper cells. Well, where are they? Well, here's an interesting side note that maybe Senator Feinstein could get around to studying. We can give her some sound bites. We can give her some leads on this. There's a Clarion Project, and the Clarion Project looks into Muslims in America. Not all Muslims, the Islamist Muslims. And the head of it is a spokesman for it, national security analyst named Ryan Morrow. And on the 18th of February in 2014, they discovered a jihadist enclave in Texas where a deadly shooting took place in 2002. And they said FBI documents obtained by Clarion confirm that the U.S. government's concerned about its links to terrorism. The enclave belongs to the Network of Muslims of the Americas, a radical group linked to a Pakistani militant group called Jamaat al-Fukra. Its members are devoted followers of a sheikh, an extremist cleric in Pakistan. This organization says it has a network of 22 villages around the U.S., with Islamburg as its main headquarters in upstate New York in the Catskill Mountains. Now, we talked about Islamburg on this show when I was a local host in 1995, and it's been swept under the rug. Islamburg, I think it's near South Fallsburg. South Fallsburg, now there's an Islamburg. And Clarion Project obtained secret footage showing female members receiving paramilitary training at Islamburg, right? A second MOA tape released by Clarion shows its spokesman declaring the U.S. to be a Muslim-majority country. A 2007 FBI record, now that's before the country was taken over by Obama, stated that MOA members have been involved in at least 10 murders, one disappearance, three firebombings, one attempted firebombing, two explosive bombings, and one attempted bombing. So there are terror enclaves such as Mahmoudburg, Texas, described by the FBI. And we have sound from this organization, the Clarion Project, which is very, very alarming. In clip 30, let's hear it.
We had identified one of their jihadist enclaves in Texas. We now know of one in Alaska. They're in South Carolina, Virginia. They're throughout the country. They say they have 22 of these so-called Islamic villages.
Okay, let's hear the next two.
And this is a very radical group that's also a bit of a cult, because they believe that their leader in Pakistan, Sheikh Jalani, is capable of doing miracles. They even have a holy fax machine in South Carolina. It's called Muslims of the Americas. It's an entity of a Pakistani group called Jamaat al-Fukra, which they're not going to operate under that name here in the U.S. They want something that sounds nicer. There's a quote from their leader saying, make sure you use nice words when you're preaching to your enemy. And so they try to clean up their image. They've even set up an interfaith front group to reach out to Christians so that they can appear moderate.
You know, you heard it on the Savage Nation. Let's go to break. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. From the 60s, this song. Isn't it beautiful? There was no hate in it. How is that possible? Didn't rub his crotch. Didn't hate women. Didn't hate police. And the rest is history. All right, here we are. Whatever. So here we are, staring down the face of terror. And I concluded my show on Friday by saying something that's worth repeating, which is the Nazis are back. This time they're not marching while carrying Mein Kampf. They're congregating in their training camps reading another book. I wish the day would arrive when our Muslim sympathizing president would get up and say the word Muslim or Islam and give us the kind of honest speech that even the socialist president of France gave after the massacres last week. He called it an anti-Semitic attack after Jews were killed in a kosher shop by the new Nazis wearing headscarves. Meanwhile, our double-talking president doesn't even come close. Civilization is facing throwbacks from the 9th century who are interpreting their religion literally. They haven't hijacked Islam at all. The Quran says if you meet an infidel, kill him. It's in their book. Read it or we're all going to die. This is how Islam took over the rest of the world way back when, through terror and murder. And why are we importing so many of these throwbacks into this country through open borders and unchecked illegal and legal immigration? I've told you before that the key to saving this country is slamming the borders shut. There are so many things that need to be done that we had hoped the incoming Republican Party would do. But as I predicted, all they cared about was the Keystone XL pipeline and feathering the nests of their contributors. It was only about business. It's all business. It's always been about business. These two parties care only about business, not about the nation. There is no nation to them. Both of these parties are nothing but lobbyists for special interests, which is why we have no answer to terrorism right now. It's not as though we don't have the brave men to do the job. They can fly the planes. They can send the drones. They can launch the missiles from our ships and submarines. But we lack the leadership to do it. They know where the training camps are. Ask anybody in the military who'll give you a straight answer. They can read them off the satellite imagery. With heat-seeking visual cameras, they can see them running around in the desert as little red spots. They know where they're training. They know where they're shooting. They see it all. They could wipe them off the planet in 1 hour. And yet they don't. Ask yourself why Obama didn't attend the rally in France and put two and two together and come up with liberalism.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Beautiful song, what can I tell you? Why did Obama not attend the rally in France? Can anyone tell me if you actually, do you actually believe the cover story that it's because of security? Well, come on, use your sense. Even if you're from the Upper West Side of Manhattan, you understand that that's a lie. I mean, the president of Israel went there. He had security needs. The president of France had security needs. Germany, England. How come they didn't have security fears? Or how come, despite their security fears, they went anyway? Perhaps they're principled leaders in some way? More principled than perhaps President Obama or Attorney General Holder or Vice President Biden or so-called Secretary of State John Kerry? None of them went. The world is finally noticing what we have all, what we, let's say, on the conservative side of the aisle have said for years and years and years about this administration. They're out to lunch, not competent, JV team, whatever you want to say. But the world has finally seen it. But what good does it do us if we can't get rid of them? We had an election and nothing happened. That's all. WFTL in Florida. Next up, go ahead, name topic station.
Karen, I'm in Pembroke Pines, Florida.
And topic.
Am I on the air?
Oh, come on. Yes, you're on the air. No, you're talking to Mickey Mouse.
I'm going
to
answer your first question, and I have a question after your last comments, which gave me chills because you're right on target. He did not attend because he's showing passivity towards ISIS, and that's what Islam means. Islam means to submit. It doesn't mean peace.
That we know, but you're alleging he didn't attend not to watch the football game, but something worse.
He did it on purpose. He it's a lame excuse. He didn't go.
Holder was there, and Holder left. He slipped away. That's why I'm playing the song Slip Away. Because just before the rally, Holder, who was in Paris, slipped away. Why did Holder not attend?
Right. The same.
First of all, it would have been a gross insult to send this individual to that rally, since A, he is not on that level. B, he's already been dismissed from the job. And C, he doesn't represent American interests in the way we'd like them to be represented. But even he didn't attend. He left. Why? Because Obama and his handlers, whoever they may be, said we don't want to at all send the message to radical Islam that we're against them.
Right, because he's submitting to radical Islam. You see, Sisi of Egypt, when you talked about his speech, which I didn't get to read, which I'm going to try and read, okay, what he's trying to do is to draw the strong line between moderate and radical Islam, okay, and this is where the problem is. The reason why they kill more Muslims than Christians is because they want the moderate Muslim to convert to the radical.
Yep. You got it clear as a bell, honey, you got it right. Sorry for my wise guy Mickey Mouse thing in the beginning. So, what are we going to do about this? If you're a firm religious person, you say it's God's will, and you turn your head back to your regular life, and I guess that there's wisdom in that. Say, I can't do anything about it. What can I do about it? You know, leave it to them. What can I do? And in a way, you're right. We have no direct access to changing leadership in this country. We don't have a participatory democracy. We have a dictatorship punctuated occasionally by a vote, which is then dismissed the day after it happens. So who's going to lead us out of this mess? Who's going to defend us? Who? Who is going to bring peace to the world? Who? Who is going to rise up and take control of this country and save us? Who? Who is going to save us from the Quislings and the enemy within? Who? Who is it going to be? Who? I'd like to know. Which Republican? Well, let's see. Let's go down the list. Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, the ice cream man cometh from Miami, Ted Cruz. Who's going to save us? Not one of them has said anything about radical Islam that I know of. Not one word. They're all basically taking advice from the same advisors. So what do you want to do? Go on and on this about 3 hours of this? I'm not going to do it. Get a sore throat. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I mean, you're going to have to do it. McCain, he could save us. He could say McCain can save us. McCain could be the one to save us. He's the one who said that Morsi shouldn't have overthrown the Muslim Brotherhood. He could save us. That nut, God forbid he runs again. You know, him running again would be the equivalent of Newt Gingrich running again. If Newt Gingrich runs again, it's the end of the Republic as we know it. Line six, next up on the Savage Nation, what's on your mind?
Mr. Savage, what happened over the weekend is a shame, but what I think is going to happen is you said that they made threats against the military and now the police, which is part of this progressive movement where don't shoot, I can't breathe, hands up. I think, and they had a Palestine guy showing up somewhere saying that they want to kill cops. I think it's got to start from the small part. There's more cops, they got families, and I have a lot of friends with cops. We got to get, like, papers, you know, leaflets, whatever it is, because half of this internet stuff is killing everybody.
Look, the NYPD under Mayor Bloomberg had an active unit that was dedicated to monitoring mosques in New York City. Did you know that?
Yes, and it was pulled back.
And it was immediately eliminated by Mayor DiBlodio. Mayor DiBlodio said it was racist. He brought his progressive insanity to the police department. And it's only just begun. The fun has only just begun. Believe me, it's that bad. It's that bad. WBAP in Dallas, line two, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, this is Jeff, WBAP, as you know, and my topics are humor and lack of leadership. First, I'd like to say I enjoy a lot of your tongue-in-cheek reality as you give it to some people. And the reason that John Boehner couldn't attend is because they wouldn't allow beer helmets on the parade. So,
I would do more tongue-in-cheek humor today, but my sternocleidomastoid muscle is acting up.
Well, and I think that's pretty funny, but...
It is kind of funny. Someone sent that to me. They said it's your sternocleidomastoid muscle that causes the pain from your ear, and it probably is. This is shocking.
And I was going to tell you what I was going to do for the...
It's from looking at the computer too much. I know what it is.
Well, the guy that couldn't get the locks joke, I'm going to send you a chair, and every time you tell a joke, somebody can get it. You can send them one, and they can stand on it so it doesn't go over their head.
Yeah, why don't I make a Michael Savage funny chair and sell it on the air? A funny chair. It's like when I tell a joke, it makes you laugh.
Yep. Absolutely. That's your point about...
Anyway, aside from, there's no real humor about a president who was so out to lunch as this or so signaling the enemy like this. It's hard to believe he'd get away with this. But look, I think it was an awakening for the liberals in America, the principled liberals, of whom there must be some, because even the Daily News said shame on them and named them.
Of course. And the look at me, you know, if it's not look at me and it's my agenda... The garbage about security is just that. There was more security there than his own detail could ever provide from all these other leaders. And the fact...
As evidenced by the fact that not so much as a firecracker was thrown in the crowd.
Oh, if they had, they'd have been shot. So, you know, come on.
Yeah, did you see the bodyguards surrounding some of these people? Did you see the bodyguards around Hollande? Hollande's not a very tall fellow, and I don't hold that against him. That's genetics. I'm not particularly tall myself. He had some of the largest Breton French I've ever seen. These guys came out of the northern part of France, where the big guys live. Probably all of the good rocky soil and the wine. These guys were like 6'6". They were monstrously large. It was fabulous to see the shaved-headed Shin Bet and the other Israeli security surrounding Netanyahu. I was amazed at the bodyguards. It was fabulous.
Yeah, but we couldn't provide security. That's why he couldn't go, right?
Well, no. How could we send the Secret Service? They're still analyzing how individuals are able to breach the White House and jump over the fence. They could have delivered a pizza and gotten out, and nobody would have stopped them.
Well, you know, when you tie people's hands and then ask them to fight, it's pretty tough to do.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, thanks for listening from BAP down in Dallas. The phone number is 855-472-82. That opens one line. Let's go to line six. Fire away. What's on your mind?
Yes, David calling from Los Angeles, listening on KSFO to talk about Obama, why he wasn't there in France at the Global Peace March.
Tell us.
I'm here to say not because of football, because Netanyahu said he was going to be there, and Obama could not be seen in a global unity together with Netanyahu.
Well, hold on. That's a valid theory, and it would be valid if Abbas was not there. But Abbas was there.
I don't know how that weighs in, but Obama cannot be seen letting ISIS and the Muslims know that he is in unity with Netanyahu. And also, who was there? The people supporting against the Muslim terrorism. Who was not there? The ISIS Muslim terrorism. So it was a stay-home event for the Muslim terrorists. That means Obama did not want to have representation there. I'm being a little comical, but very serious. I'm being pragmatic about this. And, Michael, you have written the book, Stop the Coming Civil War. Nobody's mentioned this time last year. You said that this was coming. Obama, purposeful deconstruction of the United States of America through reduction of military, reduction of the intelligence. This has been brought on purposely through orchestration with Obama, and I'm sure you do not disagree.
I do not disagree, and him not attending is a way of further evaporating our moral confidence in the nation. When he sends a signal like this, it tells us to be despairing that we have no leadership. So he is demoralizing the American people by his acts as well.
And now they're spinning that the break-in on the Twitter Centcom. Oh, well, Twitter's not as bad as a break-in as a Pentagon computer, except the sensitive information about the military families and the kids' information was released in that hack. So who are they kidding? America's been overtaken through ISIS as Obama planned through its deconstruction with reduction of the military. So everything that you've said over the last year that's been detailed in your book, Stop the Coming Civil War, and it's time for Americans. They're going to have to take to the streets, armed to save their own country because Obama, purposeful deconstruction, everything is going as planned.
I can't disagree with you. I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air around us everywhere. It goes by the name of patriotism. That's the opening quote in Stop the Coming Civil War. It is Thomas Corwin to Abraham Lincoln in 1861. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Saying that John Kerry did not attend the massive rally in Paris to say I am Charlie because he said that when he was in Vietnam, but I don't believe it personally. Attending the rally was Prime Minister David Cameron, England, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel, Malian President Ibrahim Keita, French President Hollande, German Chancellor Merkel, European Union President Donald Tusk, and Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, all part of the unity rally of 4 million people in a tribute to the 17 victims of a three-day killing spree by jihadists. In France, as you know. So why didn't he go? Why didn't Obama go is what the world is buzzing about. And not just me. You could say, oh, it's the right wing always jumping on poor Obama because they're racist. We get it. We understand how your minds are bent. We know how the Harvey Weinsteins of the world think. We know how the Larry Davids of the world think. We understand what the Woody Allen syndrome is. All talented people. All creative people, but warped in their thinking. Warped. Unfortunately, they march in lockstep with the empty suit. And so we're asking, why did Obama not attend the rally in France? And I'm the one who said, in all fairness, why didn't Boehner go? He could have gone. He could have been in the second row. He could have been with a hip flask. He wouldn't have been too far away from the booze for too long. Next caller, line 7, unprotected talk. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Shah. is from 630 WMAL in Washington, D.C. And the reason I'm calling is not that it matters, but I completely 100% agree with you. That,
thank God. That was a close call.
I'm an Hispanic American, which I constantly see so much racism against me, and I think it's getting really dangerous out there. And I think that the worst thing, though, that would happen if something were to happen to Obama, if he did go, is Biden. He would get in office, and I just, if you think Obama's bad, can you?
Why didn't Biden go then? If they were afraid for the president's safety, why didn't Biden go?
And if
VP Biden was the issue, why didn't Kerry go?
Oh, I got you. 100% I agree with you. Somebody.
Kerry was in India. India's a plane ride away. What are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. I understand.
I don't buy it at all.
Yeah, I don't either. And it's like, he's definitely more Muslim than he is Christian.
Well, all right, we all know that. But again, I have to remind you, the president of Egypt is a Muslim, and yet he's a man who understands what's going on, I think more so than our president does. So you can't, see, we have to now stop saying he's a Muslim, he's a Muslim, he's a Muslim, as though that automatically means he's a terrorist sympathizer. It may be true in the case of some, but it's certainly not in the case of all, because al-Sisi of Egypt is a Muslim who calls radical Islam out. But our president won't.
Yes, and we should be.
That's what I want to get across to you. I want to get that across to you. It's very important we do. We can't lose every ally on the planet, you know, out of foolishness. It's that simple. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. This is the Savage Nation. WJR in Detroit, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Mark, WJR, AM760. Just quickly, my son and I are both buying new Dodge Challengers this year, and right now, I just literally in the suburbs of Detroit, there's a Hellcat red manufacturer's test car Challenger next to me. So I just wanted.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the Hellcat. It's appropriate. I've talked about it for a while. First of all, I want to thank Sterling Heights Dodge Chrysler up in Michigan for initiating the process. But the car is here in San Francisco, and I'm getting it right after the show today. Would you believe it?
Oh my God! I know.
Yeah, Dodge pulled it off the production line for Michael Savage. They made it a special model for me. It's all jet black, all automatic, and it's here. It was shipped by a closed truck. It arrived over here in San Francisco over the weekend or this morning, and they've dusted it off, and I'm getting it right after the show. We're going to take pictures of it. I want to thank the Dodge Motor Company for going out of their way, and we'll have pictures of the Hellcat up there on michaelsavage.com for quite a while. I'll be talking about drag racing. All of the liberals, as they disappear in my rearview mirror, fuming as they try to pass me in their little cars. Because there's one thing I love, and that's horsepower. I can't wait to get my hands on that pedal and put it to the metal.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Just another man.
It is the Savage Nation. Life goes on. We have an empty suit or worse in the presidency. The world finally knows it. The world finally knows what we, the American patriotic movement, for want of a better set of words, have known for a long time. He did not attend the rally in France, the largest rally since the Nazis were driven out of France in 1945. He did not send the VP. He did not send the Secretary of State. It is one of the greatest shames in modern American history. And, of course, it is being covered up as we speak. And we're talking about why he did not attend the rally in France. We don't buy the cover story about a lack of security, primarily because certainly Netanyahu needed security. certainly Abbas needed security, etc., and so on. That's nonsense. No one knows the answer. However, as I said to you, life goes on. We have our daily lives. We have our daily needs for our bodies to take care of, whether it's waking up and brushing our teeth, our families, our health, our longevity, our other needs, and life goes on. What can we do about this clown? We had an election and nothing happened. As though nothing happened at all. So I myself am sitting here. I just had lunch during the break. I found out that I can eat 3 fish tacos in 4 minutes. In fact, I've trained myself to eat 2 Chinese lunches or 3 fish tacos or a bowl of spaghetti in a break period, which I've done. And apparently it's not bad for my health because my stress EKG last week said things are fine. So if eating like a dog would kill you, I would have been dead already. There's a lot to be said for none fine dining. There's a lot to be said for none fine dining. I mean, I pick my food carefully. I don't eat cheeseburgers, but I eat fish. And I'm waiting to get my Dodge Hellcat. It's here in California. And I'm getting it right after the show is over with pictures on the website. It's all black. It's jet black. And I want to, again, thank Russ Misano of Sterling Heights Dodge in Michigan. And I want to thank the Dodge Motor Company for pulling it off the line and making it happen. And I can't wait to drive this beast. I cannot wait to take it for a little spin around the San Francisco area and see what kind of hatred I get from the impossible, intolerant Larry Davids of the left. We're talking primarily about the big embarrassment to America. And I think we pretty much covered that. You know what I'm saying? What else do you want to talk about, though? We shouldn't get locked into that alone. I think we pretty much covered the fact that either he's an empty suit or a sympathizer of the terrorists, which I'd rather not believe, frankly. I'd rather not believe it. I'd rather not believe that he's treasonous. I'd rather not. It would make my life a lot easier. If he is, then we're really in trouble. However, I want to quote something from a book. It goes like this. People can justify a government's controversial policies and actions for only so long until they see a pattern of abuse of power. Then even the most devout supporters of any regime must decide if they support these extreme policies and actions or oppose them. With the current government, this point of no return was reached for some when they slowly realized the extent of the vast National Security Agency spying scandal. For most Americans, the flood of tens of thousands of illegal immigrants from Central America, purposely created by the administration to overwhelm our southern borders, was the final straw. And yet for those of us who study governments that have taken nations from freedom to fascism, the handwriting has been on the wall for many years. My question is this. Will the Obama inner circle of extremist left-wing radicals trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? Is this concern to be dismissed as a right-wing conspiracy? That is the beginning of Stop the Coming Civil War, my latest best-selling book, which is more important in January than it was in October. Because Obama's wars have not ended, they've only just begun. The Long March, the war on our borders, language, and culture, the war on the U.S. military, the war on the middle class, the war on American medicine, the war on civil rights, the war on science, the war in our schools, the war on our allies? Can you believe what Chapter 10 predicted in the Stop the Coming Civil War? Yes, it was written by none other than Michael Savage, the war on our allies. And what did I mean by that? I think you can pretty much figure it out. He attacked our most important allies, meaning Israel. He attacked Egypt. When Egypt threw out the Muslim Brotherhood, he sent the moron, John McCain, there to tell the Egyptian people they had some nerve for wanting the Muslim Brotherhood out and they should restore them. And this is a man who pretends to be now an American hero, no less? No, Mr. McCain, you're either a stooge or an idiot, one or the other. But in either case, you're unqualified at any speed. There are too many old people running this country. There are far too many very old people running this country, by the way. Let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. We have one open line at 855-400-7282. Line 8, go ahead, please. What's your station, topic, and name?
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm Anna from WMAL 105.9. I wish we were still on air with you at the moment. But I want to tell you something. I love Chinese food, and I got a fortune cookie that said, failure is the opportunity to begin again more intelligently. And all I could think of was John Boehner and the, I would say, sleepy right, so to speak. And I feel like we're being governed by...
But maybe we could encourage the scotch maker, that if it's scotch that he drinks, to put fortunes that come out of a scotch bottle. Maybe he'll look at them.
I hope he does, but
well, would it have to be made of something other than paper, though?
Indeed.
Maybe they could float fortunes in the scotch bottle, so the very last drink that they pour in Boehner's, that he pours in his glass, a little glass fortune falls out, and he says that failure is the beginning of wisdom or something. Yeah, let's hope so. Why didn't Boehner go to the rally? Line 5 next. You're up on the Savage Nation. Same drill. Name, station, topic. Go ahead, please. A dud. See, that's the problem with unprotected talk. Nobody else in radio history has tried this on a regular basis other than me. It's been used on local shows and on one-day-a-week shows. Nobody in the national arena has dared try this because it's too risky. And I may have to abandon it unless the callers are there when I click the button or they're really great. I'm getting great callers. Line 1, station name, topic, go ahead. Another dud job. A dud, that's a two. I get 3 in a row. I'm canceling the format. We're going to try one more, and then we're going to go to screen calls. Line 6, name, topic, subject, go ahead, please. Name, topic, station, go ahead, please.
Dean WJR Detroit.
You see, some people get it. Some people are taxpayers who call this show, and they can actually get on the air and say something. And what's your topic?
Well, what I'd like to say is that my opinion of General, I call him General Betrayus, the reason he'll never be tried is because he knows too much about Benghazi. At the time...
Sure, I agree with that analysis, but why would you call him General Betrayus? He is a general, a very fine man. Why Betrayus?
Well, because during the time that he was in charge of our troops abroad, I was doing a lot of reading, and I looked on the Internet a lot, and stuff that our troops actually were putting on YouTube. And our troops at that time had orders that they could not shoot at the enemy until they were shot at first.
Yes, but and those rules of engagement were initiated by George W. Bush. Do you know that?
Well, I know that, but I guess how I...
Oh, wait a minute. No, it's important not to go over that. The balling of our troops was begun by Bush, not by Obama. He only made the situation worse, which is why so many of our brave Marines wound up with court-martials brought against them, and why I helped get some of them out of jail by raising money for them. But don't just blame Obama. This is a wholesale meltdown of our military under two presidents now.
Can you imagine what General Patton... George Patton would have said, though...
Well, sure I can, because in my book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, written in 2005, I wrote a chapter entitled, We've Gone from General Patton to Patton Leather. Sure I can imagine what it would have been like. I know exactly what it would have been like if we had a real general in charge, but I don't blame the generals. I blame the commanders-in-chief, Bush and Obama. They're the ones who have been compromised. And never forget the famous picture of Bush being held by the pinky, being led around by the king of Saudi Arabia. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO-IN. And he pioneered the Bill of Rights. The man who's done more to trash the Bill of Rights than any other president, he pioneered the Bill of Rights. Okay. Meanwhile, here in the Bay Area, the Golden Gate Bridge, an iconic structure, was closed over the weekend. And I couldn't go back and forth, and I was trapped in Marooned County for the weekend. They put a movable barrier in the middle of the iconic structure. God knows how this is going to work. How many grifter jobs did they have to hire for this one? How many pensioners did they put on the job now on the Golden Gate Bridge Authority to rob the people blind now? They'll tell us it costs $400 billion over 25 years to move the barrier back and forth to prevent the drunk from moving across the lane. Rare 1792 penny sells at auction for almost $2.6 million. Talk about inflation. The White House says U.S. should have sent other officials to Paris. They finally said that? They got their act together? The sorority girls woke up and finally sent that? Said that? Josh Earnest. This guy will go down in history as the most incompetent double talker to have ever been a spokesmouth. I mean, they're all spokesmouths. That's their job, is to double talk. We understand that. But how do you justify John Kerry, who was in India? Why didn't he go to France? There's a small plane right away. The White House appeared to have been caught off guard by both the scope of international representation at the rally and by the criticism of the decision to send the lobbyist, they call it an ambassador, she bought the job, by the lobbyist ambassador Jane Hartley. Monday's admission of error seemed aimed at blunting criticism that the decision was tone-deaf or disrespectful of the long-standing U.S. alliance with France. Allegiance to Islamic extremist groups, blah, blah, blah. As many as six terror cell members might still be at large. Yeah, where are they? Meanwhile, here's a story that's terrible. A police chief killed himself in France. Did you hear that? I just got that over the wires here. Play the breaking news sound. I'll make it a real news item. Go ahead. All right, we have breaking news on the Savage Nation. French police commish commits suicide after meeting family of Charlie Hebdo victim. Mediaite reports a French police commissioner committed suicide last week under the stress of the Charlie Hebdo killings, reportedly after meeting the family of one of the massacre's victims. The commissioner, 45-year-old Helric Fredou, had been the deputy director of the regional police in Limoges, a city in central France. He had been investigating the Charlie Hebdo incident soon after the attacks in the magazine's office. I was in the middle of completing a report with the victim's family when he shot himself in the head in his office. I don't know. I don't believe it. According to the local police union, Fredou was single with no children, and prior to the attacks had suffered from burnout and depression. Fredou had found the body of a colleague who had also committed suicide in his office by shooting himself in the head. We are all shocked. Nobody is ready for such a development. But a spokesman for the union said to reporters, I don't know. Why should I believe anything coming out of France right now? They have a major scandal on their hands, which is how did they let these murderers on the streets? Well, I guess the same problem with the Boston Marathon, Tsarnoff brothers, the brothers Tsarnoff. Not to be confused with the Tsarnoffs who ran NBC during the war. Not Colonel Tsarnoff, but it's a similar origin of Russian Tsarnoff, 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 one, two. So the Tsarnoff brothers were also being surveyed by the FBI, CIA, LSMFT, all the alphabet agencies, and they let them on the streets, and they committed the Boston Marathon bombing. So what is it about the West and their inability to stop the Muslim terrorists? Can you figure that one out? Yes, any schoolboy can figure it out if he knows exactly what weakness is. It's that simple. But the big thing is, what is Obama going to do now that the whole world knows that he's an empty suit, or worse? And why didn't Boehner go to the rally? I mean, to be fair, because you can say, oh, it's a right wing attacking the poor man, it's racism, blah, 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 blah. Okay, sure. It's not really that unusual a story. It's a direct question. Now we're going to go to the next caller, and we have one open line at 855-400-7282. Line number one, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
John, 710, Casey Moe, Kansas City.
Perfect.
Perfect.
You get a prize for being a legitimate American taxpayer. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Dr. Savage, and I guess I do pay taxes.
That means you don't vote for Obama, I would assume.
No, I do not. I don't vote for Republicans either. I am...
Who do you vote for, then? It doesn't leave many options.
There are many options, and I will vote or not vote if they throw someone up there, like a McCain or a Romney.
Oh, my God in heaven. Can you imagine a McCain or a Romney or a Bush?
Yes, I can imagine, because that's the way the country's going.
Yeah, it's an oligarchy. It's a government of the rich, by the rich, and for the rich. It's that simple.
Yeah, and that's the beauty of my topic, which is the Messiah that you seem to deny, the true pioneer of the Bill of Rights.
Okay, well, go ahead. Give us the Messiah talk. I'm digesting the taco. Go ahead.
Well, if to give you the talk, you quote from the Torah, you quote from the Old Testament, all of these things, and yet you said the Messiah, he's dead, he's gone, he's buried. But he's not. That's the beauty of the Messiah, that he died on the cross, he was buried, and he rose again.
Well, why is Jesus quoted as having said this, I did not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father? What did that mean?
Because
Jesus Christ came to save sinners.
He said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, for I have come to turn a man against his father. What did he mean by that?
He did not come to bring peace within families. He came to bring peace for sinners, to fulfill the law.
Well, I hope he comes my way real soon, because I'm definitely a sinner. Don't confuse me with a great American or a man who has no problems. I've committed many a sin in my day, and I intend to continue committing them as long as I live, because I am human. It's that simple. What can I do? What, am I perfect? I hope I'm saved one day.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
As soon as I heard about the plans for the march that took place yesterday, I asked my team to figure out what the earliest is that I could travel to Paris in order to show once again, to reaffirm the connection between the United States and our oldest ally. And so I will be traveling there on Thursday.
Duh, it's Monday. The rally was over the weekend, John. By Thursday, they will have all gone home. What are you going there Thursday for? Is that the first day your wife could get away? Unbelievable to me. Now, look, there is a way to fight this war, and we're not fighting it at all. If we had a real war leader, here's what would be done. Write it down. They know where their training camps are, both in Yemen and in Syria and in Iraq. They know just where their training camps are. They know exactly, you ask anybody in the military if I'm making this up, they know just where their training camps are. But because of the cowardice of the commander-in-chief and the reluctance of the commander-in-chief to engage the enemy, they're training every day to kill us. And so the answer is quite simple. We need a new commander-in-chief, don't we? We need a new commander-in-chief who understands that the enemy has declared war and is at war with us. It is World War III. It has been for quite a while, but now they're openly parading around in their terror camps, their training camps, which they can read from the satellites. And they could launch weapons on them in Yemen, and they could launch weapons on them in Syria and Iraq, and they can annihilate them, their wives and children. That's the exact reason they won't do it. They're afraid of bad publicity. Now, if we had had this kind of leadership, you'd be speaking German or you'd be a lampshade. If the administration that conducted the war against Hitler, FDR, was afraid the same way Obama is, there would have been no firebombing of Dresden. There would have been no bombing of Berlin. There wouldn't have even been a D-Day for fear that they would have killed one German civilian after they arrived in Germany. And so we would have lost World War II. Do you understand that we have everything upside down and backwards? This is common sense. The only way to deal with this enemy is to go on the attack. We have the weapons, we have the knowledge, we know where their training camps are. The problem is we don't have the leadership. If it's not apparent to you after this AWOL appearance, non-appearance by Obama, away without leave, he was AWOL, and if it's not apparent to you now, you will never know the danger you were in. You can't know what danger you were in. He stayed home, why? It was not about security. Let me repeat it over and over again. It was the largest rally in the history of Paris. It was larger than the D-Day rally after the Germans had been defeated in World War II. And here he was not there. Where was Biden? Not there. Where was Kerry? He was in India. A liar. But I'll raise the stakes on all of you who think it's a Democrat-Republican problem. Where was Boehner? Boehner could have gone. He could have represented the United States, couldn't he? Why didn't he go? Boehner is the number one opposition party leader. Why did he not go? Tell me why he didn't go. Because he's another fraud. Then we have the sad reality here of Rubio, the man who really should get out of the picture of the presidency already. Listen to the weak statement in clip three.
I thought it was a mistake not to send someone. Look, I understand when the president travels, he brings with him a security and communications package, which is intense. And I understand you drop that into the middle of something like this, it could be disruptive. But Eric Holder was in Paris, and maybe John Kerry should have gone, or somebody else, or a plethora of people they could have sent. I think in hindsight, I would hope that they would do it differently.
End of story. Rubio was never presidential material, never. He's a boy in a man's game, and it's a shame to listen to this man as the voice of the Republican Party speaking so mildly about such a breach of security for the American people and such a message to the enemy and such a message to our allies and such a horrendous AWOL appearance, away without leave, by the President, Vice President, Secretary of State. Astounding. And this is the best the ice cream man can do. In case you just joined the show, we're not talking about a football game on the Savage Nation. We're not talking about the degenerates of the Golden Globes. I could care less whose dress may have fallen off or who was whose beard. I could care less which actor had which woman as a beard there. I don't care. I don't care which actor had a fake wife there. It doesn't matter to me. All that matters to me is national security. And we have none. We have no national security. It's each man for himself. It's that simple. And we're talking about the greatest breach of protocol in modern American history. It is historic. It will never be forgotten. And now we wake up to this. All of the Pentagon's social media accounts have been hacked by ISIS. ISIS has posted the names and addresses of the U.S. generals, their families, and their children. And they have said, American soldiers, we are coming. Watch your back. Why do you suppose ISIS, a ragtag army that Obama said was the JV team, I think, can penetrate our Pentagon's cybersecurity? There is no cybersecurity. The Pentagon's been watching the Tea Party. The Pentagon, along with Dianne Feinstein and the NSA, has been not monitoring ISIS, not monitoring Al-Qaeda. They've been monitoring you, the American patriot. This is a very dangerous time, but you wouldn't know it going around the average American community today. The morons, you look at the morons, they don't know what world they live in. They don't even know there was a rally in Paris of 4 million people yesterday. It was a rally larger than that on the Victory Day after World War II, those famous photos of the French in the streets after the Nazis had been kicked out by the Americans and the British. Remember those pictures of the celebrations in Paris? This was a larger rally. It's an historic day. And our doofus president didn't go. And where was Biden? And where was Kerry? And where was Boehner? I don't buy that the security was the issue at all. You mean Netanyahu didn't need security? You mean Merkel didn't need security? You mean Hollande didn't need security? You mean Abbas didn't need security? It's utter rubbish to believe that. It's rubbish to believe that. He told the world to drop dead. He said to the world, screw you, I could care less about you. In other words, you could say maybe it's about narcissism. That might hold some validity. I mean, he had to hold hands with other leaders and be just one amongst many instead of the king of all on the heap. King of the heap. He couldn't just link arms with Hollande and Cameron and Merkel and Netanyahu and Abbas. Then he would just be another leader, not the supreme leader of the universe. So he didn't attend for a couple of reasons. Probably to watch the basketball game was one. Two, narcissism. Three, he's sending a signal to the Islamists. And I don't like that part of it. I don't even want to go there with my thinking. He let the world down, says the liberal Daily News. Even a Daily News headline. You let the world down. You let the world down. So why did Obama not attend the rally in France? This is a breach of not attending this rally that no American should ever forget. But the 47% who do nothing, or is it 50% now, who sit on the behinds and collect government checks, could care less whether this doofus went to Paris or not. You think they care? If you were to confront even a college-educated woman who is an Obama worshiper, let's take the average white woman in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Let's take the average self-satisfied girl in the city, Sex in the City type, that all she cares about is whatever she cares about. And you were to say to her, wait a minute, you're a liberal. How do you feel about your president, who you support at all turns, not going to Paris when 4 million people were there and every world leader? You know what they'd say? Drop dead. He has his raisins. That's what they'd say to you. That's the world you're living in. But I raised another issue, which is why didn't Boehner the phony go there? I mean, if Obama wasn't going, then Boehner could have gone. Why didn't he go, that moron? Why didn't that useless drunk go to Paris and march there with the others? We had no representation except a lobbyist. A lobbyist. That's who he sent there. There's another reason for this. And finally, his spokesmouth, a man whose name will go down in history as one of the most, what should I say, the most? There's so many of them, there's no most anymore. Here's a guy who's the spokesmouth for Barack Hussein Obama in clip 25.
Some have asked whether or not the United States should have sent someone with a higher profile than the ambassador to France. And I think it's fair to say that we should have sent someone with a higher profile to be there.
Oh, that's very nice, Josh. When did you get that from? Which sorority gal gave you that one? Listen to 26 now.
The fact is that this is obviously a march that the planning for which only began on Friday night, and 36 hours later it had begun. What's also clear is that the security requirements around a presidential-level visit or even a vice presidential-level visit are onerous and significant.
You believe that? You mean Hollande doesn't have security requirements? You say, well, okay, Hollande's French, so it's easier for him. All right. You mean Cameron didn't have security requirements? You mean Merkel had none? Oh, you mean Netanyahu didn't have security requirements? That is total BS. That is total crap. I don't believe a word of it. Any other nation would have impeached this president a long time ago. Any other nation, after the embarrassment of letting the entire world down, would have finally understood who this phony is. He did not attend the Paris rally for no reason other than to watch the football game. Okay, then why didn't he send Biden? And where was Kerry, who speaks French and has deep roots in France? I don't buy it. There's a message that was sent here by this administration to the Islamists, to the Muslim Brotherhood, saying something. What was he saying to them? But wait a minute. The blame goes farther than the Democrats, Socialists, Communists, whatever you want to call them. Why didn't Boehner attend the rally in Paris? Am I the only one in the media who asked the question? We can criticize the president, as he should be. As head of the Harvard Law Review, he published nothing. Never tried a case in court as a lawyer. He never went to any seminars. He skips intelligence briefings. He will not engage with Congress. He ignores his cabinet. It's run by a sorority. And so he doesn't go to Paris. Represented only by a lobbyist who became an ambassador to Paris. I ask you, the listeners of this show, why did Obama not attend the rally in France? Why didn't he send the vice president? Why didn't Kerry go there? He was in India, a few hours away. Now I'll ask another question. Why didn't Boehner go? There's enough blame to go around. We have a crippled, passive, cowardly government. Crippled, passive, cowardly government at every level. Your government has been busy worrying about the Tea Party, attacking Republicans, attacking Tea Party members. And as a result, they purged the military of all combat generals. All combat generals were fired by the same man who would not go to an anti-terror rally in Paris.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from. SwissAmerica.com. Hey. We have breaking news on this day, the 12th of January, 2014, on the Savage Nation. Anti-Islam rally draws big crowd in German city of Dresden. A protester held up a poster with an image of German Chancellor Angela Merkel wearing a Muslim headscarf in front of the Reichstag building with a crescent on top during a rally of the group Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West, or Pegida, in Dresden, Germany, today, Monday. Unprecedented in size, the weekly anti-Islam rally in Dresden drew its biggest crowd yet today, after organizers declared it a tribute to the victims of the terror attacks in Paris. Organizers said 40,000 people participated in the march, while the police, who report directly to the liberal Merkel, put the figure at over 25,000. Nevertheless, it was much larger than the last rally against Islam in Germany. The group calls itself Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West, or Pegida, had asked supporters to wear black ribbons as a show of respect for the 17 people slaughtered in the French capital last week. Pegida's critics include all of Germany's mainstream parties. Does that sound familiar to you? And they've accused the group of exploiting the attack to stir up race hatred. So in other words, nothing is new under the sun. Just as those of us who stand up for the police here are called names by the left-wing vermin, so in Germany, those who stand up for the German language and Germany itself are called racists by the liberals who have erased their borders, language, and culture. Some marchers held up placards with the names of the French journalists killed by Islamic militants in Paris. Others carried banners condemning the lying press that they claimed misrepresents their cause. And one poster showed Chancellor Angela Merkel wearing an Islamic headscarf. That's the latest in the breaking news department. Anti-Islam rally draws big crowd in German city of Dresden. When is the day going to come in America when we have an awakening here in this country? One marcher, Marcus Bauer of Bautzen, Germany, said he had come to express his disgust about what he called the ruling class. Wall Street controls them all. They are responsible for all the wars, and people know that, he said. Pegida's organizers insist that they aren't aligned with Germany's far right, but many in the crowd sported insignia and clothing that neo-Nazis used to identify each other. There we go again. Of course, most of the people do not sport neo-Nazi insignia. Same smear tactic as is used against the Tea Party. Berlin police said 4,000 people demonstrated in Berlin against the rally, numbering about 400 protesters. In Munich, 20,000 people took to the streets to support tolerance, and only 1,500 anti-Islam protesters showed up. Leipzig police estimated that 15,000 idiotic liberal morons who are self-suicidal had rallied against a far smaller number of anti-Islam demonstrators. So in Germany, the same exact forces as in America. Liberalism has penetrated these Western nations to the extent that the nations are paralyzed by and large. This is Michael Savage with Unprotected Talk. The main topic today has been, why did Obama not attend the rally in France? Why did Boehner not go to the rally? Why was Obama permitted to go AWOL? AWOL is the right word on this rally. And that is what the world is buzzing about. In fact, if you go to michaelsavage.com, you will see clearly from the Daily News, New York Daily News. Again, the New York Daily News is a mainstream, more or less big city liberal newspaper. But even the New York Daily News has said fundamentally, shame on you. That's what they said in more words than one and better words than I just said to you. Their headline is quite clear. You can see it for yourself on my site and many, many others. Meanwhile, the terrorists are still out there, according to Dianne Feinstein, Eric Holder, Barack Obama, and the head of the CIA. Then why are they doing nothing about it? Why don't they preemptively break the doors in and take them out by their long hair and throw them into Guantanamo? I guess they're afraid to offend someone's sensibilities. That's some mistake, is it not? This has been Michael Savage. Thanks for listening for these 3 hours. And with God's will and your listenership, I shall return tomorrow, same time, same station. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.